Hey, it's Tuesday. I'm Matthew Elaria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Let's pray and release faith over today's broadcast, and then we're going to get right into the Word. Father, we do thank you again today, Lord, for your Word. Lord, we ask you today for revelation of your Word. We ask you today for grace and help to receive your Word, to put it into practice, and to see it work in our lives. And Father, I release my faith today over everybody watching the broadcast. And Lord, I thank you for ministering to them in a great and in a mighty way through this broadcast. And Father, I do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all this week and all next week on the broadcast, we're doing a series of teachings entitled Resist the Devil. And we're focusing on, in this teaching, our need to resist the devil, the reality that you and I need to acknowledge that we do need to resist the devil. We're focusing on what to resist. We're going to learn about that. And we're going to focus and learn about how to resist the devil. Now let's go back over to James chapter 4. And let's look there again at verse 7. Verse 7 says, resist the devil. Well, the beginning of that verse says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now let's go to 1 Peter 5 and let's look at that verse again. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. And so here God's telling us again to resist the devil. The devil is out there looking to devour you. And when he comes, resist him. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And these three verses will be our foundation verses for this series of teachings talking about resisting the devil. James 4, 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. 1 Peter 5, 9, resist him steadfast in faith. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against or resist the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day, and having done all to stand or resist, stand therefore. And so here again, we have another verse where God is telling us to resist the devil. And so, friend, what we're talking about here is vitally important. We found out on yesterday's broadcast that it is your and my, our God-given responsibility to resist the devil in our lives. And nobody's going to do that for you. God's not going to do that for you. I can't do that for you. You can't do it for me. That you and I have a God-given responsibility to resist the devil. And God told us that multiple times in the scriptures, to resist him. Now, on today's broadcast, I want to give you a good working definition of what it means to resist the devil. To resist the devil is this idea of pushing back against him and anything he tries to do in your life. It's pushing back against him. And anything that he's trying to do, you're pushing back against him or against it. The opposite of that would be just laying down and yielding and just letting him do what he wants. And many believers do that. They don't know to resist. They don't know how to resist. And so when the devil comes, they just lay down. But this idea of resisting is the idea of I'm pushing back against it. To resist is to take a stand against someone, to take a stand against something and tell them, no, no, you don't, not in my life. What is that? You're pushing back against it. Now, I want to give you a definition here of resist. I looked this up in Greek and Strong's and Thayer's and looked it up in some different resources. And resist means to stand against. It means to oppose. To resist means to set yourself against. Rick Renner is a Greek scholar, and he defines resist as this: to stand against or to stand in opposition to. The attitude of one who is fiercely opposed to something, fiercely opposed to it, and therefore determines that he or she will do everything within their power to resist it, to stand against it, and to defy its operation. And so this is one who is fiercely opposed to something and then determines, I'm going to do everything in my power to shut it down in my life, to resist. It also means this: the quality of not yielding. The quality of not yielding. And so again, what does it mean to resist? It means I'm pushing back against it. I'm pushing back against the devil. I'm pushing back against anything he's trying to do in my life. I'm standing against him. I'm standing against what he's trying to do. I've set myself against him. I'm fiercely opposed to him and what he's trying to do in my life. And therefore, I'm going to do everything in my power to shut it down. This is the idea of resisting. Well, what is the opposite of that? The opposite of that is just laying down and yielding to him. What do I mean? I mean, you know, you have some anxious thoughts. You maybe deal with fear or anxiety, panic, these types of things. And instead of resisting it, you kind of just say, well, this is just kind of my lot in life. This is my anxiety. I deal with anxiety. I deal with panic and I do my best, but it's just a problem I'm always going to have. Well, that's not resisting. You're just laying down and letting the devil do what he wants to do in your life where that's concerned. What would resisting anxiety look like? It would look like you finding out what God says in his word about him giving you his peace and then saying, no, you don't. No, you don't, anxiety. Not in my life. I'm not going to lay down. You don't belong to me. You don't have victory over me. I'm taking my stand against you on the word of God, and I'm resisting you in the name of Jesus. I'll resist you all the way. I'll resist you if I'm underwater. I'll resist you if I'm going down. I'll never bow my knee and just lay down and let you have your way in my life. I'm resisting you in the name of Jesus. Now, that is a picture of resisting the devil. See, who's trying to get anxiety so strong and so prevalent in your life? Who's trying to put that on you? Well, it's not God, it's the devil. And you have a God-given responsibility to resist him and anything he's trying to do in your life. And so when you're resisting, you're pushing back against it. You're saying, no, you don't. Not in my life. Now, I may be experiencing feelings of anxiety, thoughts of anxiety, symptoms of anxiety. I may be having panic attacks. Maybe so. I may be dealing with fear real strong in my life, but I'll never lay down to it. I'll never bow my knee to it. I'm resisting it in Jesus' name. And so when the devil attacks or tries to do something in our lives, friend, you and I are not supposed to be passive and just lay down and just yield. Well, this is just my lot in life. I guess God just gave me this bad thing because he wants me to learn something. And so I'm just going to lay down and just yield to it. No, sir. No, ma'am. If it's of the devil, then you and I are supposed to be resisting it. We're not supposed to be passive and just lay down to the devil and what he tries to do in our lives. No, we're supposed to find out what the word says, and then we're supposed to push back against it. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and I want to look at this in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus coming under attack. The devil is attacking him, tempting him, putting pressure on him to sin. And we've looked at this before on the broadcast, and we won't read all this today. You can go read this, the full account of this in your own time. But this is when the enemy came to Jesus and he tempted him to turn the rocks into bread. He tempted Jesus to, you know, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Why? Because God said in his word, he's given his angels charge over you. And then he told Jesus, he said, look, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And what we see Jesus do is resist the devil. If you actually look down here in chapter 4, in verse 11, this is the end of this little account here, or Jesus' encounter with the devil. The end of it was this: then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Why did the devil leave Jesus? Because Jesus resisted him. When he told Jesus to turn the rocks into bread, Jesus said, it's written. When he told Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, Jesus said, it's written. When he told Jesus to bow down and worship him, Jesus said, it's written. See, Jesus was not just laying down. Jesus was not just yielding to the enemy. No, he pushed back against him. He said, no, you don't. Not in my life. I'm not going to yield to you. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to bow down and worship you. No, you don't. It's written. And what is he doing? He found out what the word said, and then he pushed back on what the devil was trying to do in his life. And friend, this is the only way that you and I will get the devil to flee from us. Now, Psalm 23, let's go over there quickly. Psalm 23, this is another very familiar psalm to many people. In this psalm, scholars, theologians believe that David wrote this at one of the most trying times of his life. And you can see that he wrote it at a trying time, because one of the things he said in the psalm is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so where is he writing this psalm from? He's not writing this psalm from the mountaintop of prosperity. No, he's writing this psalm in a hard time, in a low place, in the valley of the shadow of death. Scholars believe, let me read you this note that I found in a Hebrew study book. It says this, that David wrote this psalm during the most dangerous time of his life. He was fleeing from King Saul and his army, and he hid himself in a barren, desolate forest called Hereth, which means a parched and dry, or which means parched and dry like baked earthenware. Now, so David's running from his life from the king. He had already killed Goliath. Saul got jealous and wanted to kill him. And so David's running from his life, running for his life, running from Saul, running from the king. And he's found himself in this desolate place where there's no food, no water, nothing to drink. Now, David could just lay down and just feel sorry for himself and think, God, why did you do this to me? And why am I here? And he could just feel sorry for himself and just lay down and yield to fear and just die. He could do that. But Psalm 23 is him pushing back. What did he say? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. What's he doing? He's pushing back against the lack. He said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now watch this. Watch this pushback. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Come on, he's pushing back against fear. He's pushing back against lack. He's pushing back against death. He said, Lord, your rod, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, that is somebody that is pushing back against the devil and against what he's trying to do in David's life. Jesus didn't just lay down and yield. He pushed back. David is not laying down and yielding. he pushed back as well. You know, in John 14, 27, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What do you do when your heart tries to be troubled? Don't let it. What do you do when fear tries to come on your heart? Don't let your heart be afraid. What do you have to do? You have to push back against it. You have to say, no, you don't fear. I will not fear. I refuse to bow my knee to fear. I've been delivered from fear. I don't have the spirit of fear. I will not fear. What are you doing? You're pushing back against it rather than just yielding and laying down and letting it overtake you. Now, you have to do that with feelings of fear and thoughts of fear all over you. Yeah, that's why you're resisting, because you feel like that. Come on, that's why you're resisting the fear, because you're having those thoughts. And what Jesus was saying is, when your heart tries to be troubled, don't you dare let it. You push back against it. You know, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us to cast down wrong thoughts. Well, friend, I mean, have you ever had a wrong thought? I mean, I've had wrong thoughts. You've had wrong thoughts. What do you do when wrong thoughts come? What do you just lay down? Just yield? Well, I'm having all these wrong thoughts and I can't help it and I don't know what to do. That is laying down and yielding to it. No, you push back against those wrong thoughts. You resist them. You stand against them. Now let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3. And we'll close out today's broadcast by looking at this verse in Habakkuk chapter 3. What does it mean to resist? That's what we're talking about on today's broadcast. It means to push back against it. Push back against whatever's trying to push you. You stand against it and push back against the devil and push back against everything that he's trying to do in your life. That is resisting. You know, in Habakkuk chapter 3, it says this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat or no provision. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, friend, the writer here is describing to you that he is in a time of scarcity, a time of lack, maybe you could say even a time of famine. No, the fruit, the fields aren't producing, the flocks aren't growing, they aren't producing. He's got problems. Well, what do you do when a negative circumstance is overtaking you in his life? He is in a negative circumstance. What do you do? Do you just lay down? Feel sorry for yourself, huh? Is this what you and I should be doing? We just lay down. We just feel sorry for ourselves. We blame God. Is that what we should do? Look what he did. He said this. He said, yet, come on, when you're in the middle of a negative circumstance, one of your favorite words should be yet and but. What's he saying? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The word salvation there means my prosperity or my deliverance. He said this, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like the hind's feet. He will make me to walk upon the high places. High places are places of prosperity, places of abundance. See, what is he doing? There are, when a negative circumstance is manifesting in your life like that, there are feelings of sorrow, feelings of fear, feelings of anxiety, not to mention the circumstance itself, the lack or the scarcity or whatever it may be. And instead of laying down, he resisted the devil. He resisted what the devil was trying to do. He said, yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, the God of my deliverance. And he said, God is going to make me to set upon the high places of the earth. He's pushing back against the lack. He's pushing back against the scarcity. He's pushing back against the sorrow. He says, I'm going to rejoice and God's going to deliver me and get me out of this and set me on a high place, a place of abundance, a place of prosperity. And so, friend, you can see that if you want to enjoy victory, you're going to have to do what Jesus did. You're going to have to do what David did. You're going to have to do what the writer of Habakkuk did. You're going to have to resist. And what does it mean to resist? I'm not laying down and just taking it and just yielding to it and feeling sorry for myself. No, I'm pushing back against it. And here's the reality. all kinds of things can be resisted. And all kinds of things need to be resisted. But friend, you can resist negative thoughts. You can resist negative feelings. You can resist lies from the enemy. You can resist fear. You can resist depression. You can resist anxiety. You can resist poverty and sickness. What does that mean? You can take your stand against these things and say, no, you don't, not in my life. That's what the writer of Habakkuk was doing. He was saying, scarcity, no you don't. Sorrow, no you don't. Not in my life. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation, and he's going to sit me on the high places of the earth and cause me to prosper. Praise the Lord. And so, friend, when you're talking about resistance, you're talking about pushing back against the enemy and what he's trying to do in your life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for helping us to get good at resisting the devil. We thank you for grace and help to take a strong stand against him and to push back against anything and everything he's trying to do in our lives. And Lord, with the internet audience together, Lord, we just make a decision today that we will not be people who lay down and yield to what the devil's trying to do in our lives. We're not going to lay down. We're not going to yield. We are going to resist the devil. We're going to resist him steadfast in the faith, and we are going to stand against him and enjoy victory over him in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, thank you so much for watching today's broadcast. Now, don't forget to come back tomorrow for Wednesday's edition, praise the Lord, of the Faith for Life broadcast. We are going to continue this powerful series entitled Resist the Devil. I'll see you then.